Latin Radio. Well, we're all pretty aware of the Chinese New Year, and it is the Year of the Pig. It started on February 5, and this year is the last in the 12-year cycle of the Chinese zodiac, the Year of the Pig. Joining us to explain a bit more and what's actually involved around the Chinese New Year is Bill Lang, and he is the Australia-China Business Relations Expert and Chairman of the Institute of Advanced Business. Bill, good afternoon to you.
Yeah, g'day, Jenny. How are you going?
Look, I'm fine, thank you very much. Look, it was put to me by, actually, Carl O'Callaghan this morning that he goes to Mongolia quite a lot, actually, Carl, and he was saying that up there that they have suggested that it is not just a Chinese New Year. They figure it to be an Asian New Year. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, look, that's absolutely right, Jenny. So it's actually the Lunar New Year throughout Asia. So you'll find it being celebrated in a range of Asian countries, Cambodia, Vietnam, China, Hong Kong, Singapore.
Okay.
Each country actually has a slightly different starting date as well, so it all doesn't happen on exactly the same day. But of course, the big one is actually China. They call it the Spring Festival, and it started on February the 5th, like you mentioned earlier.
Oh, it's a great time, actually. Bill, first of all, what role are you playing with this interrelation situation?
I work with the Institute of Advanced Business, and we're involved in a couple of ways with respect to Australia-China business. The first is working with many of the Chinese students that are studying at universities here to help them succeed in terms of their study and learn about Australian culture and Australian life. And we also work with a number of businesses that are interested in attracting and serving Chinese visitors, particularly tourism-related businesses.
Yes, well, the figures that you've quoted here are huge at the moment. 200 million Chinese return to their hometowns and villages in rural China, but what about the numbers that come here as well?
Yeah, look, it's February is, in fact, the biggest number of visitors that we have from anywhere in the world in terms of inbound Australian tourism. There'll be 250,000 visitors from mainland China here in this month of February. And, you know, for your listeners that are in Perth, I'm sure if they're wandering around in town, they'll not only notice some of the decorations taking place in terms of decorating stores and things, but there'll be a lot of folks from China in town.
So why do we get so many coming here to Australia to visit their relatives that might be here? Would that be it?
Yeah, look, that's one reason. A couple of important things is that in China, only 8% of the 1.4 billion people have actually got a passport. And so the first thing is travelling overseas is a very new thing for a lot of Chinese people. And the Spring Festival or Chinese New Year is the one time of the year where most Chinese people get 1 week holiday. So if you're in the middle class, perhaps you're a business owner, perhaps you've been able to get one of your children to come and study over here, there's a whole group that will come down to reunite with their son or daughter and travel around. In addition to, there's just a significant number of tours now being organised, and you'll see groups of Chinese people coming down, in many cases for their first ever trip outside of China and they're visiting Australia.
Oh, how exciting for everybody you're concerned. Actually, it's interesting too that you've quoted here that small businesses in general, I suppose, should be doing a lot better to attract and delight the Chinese customers.
Yes, look, you'll often see busloads of people in various tourist locations, and certainly some of the big hotel groups and the big retailers, the casino in Perth and here in Melbourne. If you have a look at what they're doing, there are lots of things that they put in place, but there's a significant opportunity for everyone from small retailers to, even if you've got an Airbnb, to do a few basic things to send the signal, say, hey, we're friendly, we're really interested in meeting you, and we can not only give you some great Australian hospitality and friendliness, but let you experience our great food, our great customs. Even things like farm stays growing in interest for those tourists that are travelling around themselves to be able to stay on a farm and see sheep and cattle. It's just fantastic.
Look, what about the language barrier? How do we overcome that?
Yeah, look, it's in China these days, many people are learning English. So particularly if they're out visiting someone who they've got at university, that person will often act as the tour guide and the translator. But you'll find there's just some simple words and some simple signs in terms of Chinese characters that send the signal that you're a China-friendly business, you're welcoming Chinese customers. And, of course, if you've got a mobile phone, Chinese people are big users of mobile phones. They spend twice as much time on them per day as we do here in Australia.
That's amazing.
And the Google Translator app is a great little app, whether you're on an iPhone or an Android, where literally you can have the Chinese customer speak into that and the app will talk back to you in English. So
that is
you can speak in English and it will speak back in Mandarin. So I recommend people do that. We have a simple little service called Get A Friends that we have a number of businesses using, where they get a sticker to put on their shop window and a listing on a map, and we translate what their business is about into Mandarin to make it very easy for Chinese people to know, well, you know, what's inside that shop there, and is that something I might be interested in?
Gee, they're simple things to do, aren't they? G'day Friends, GDAYfriends.com. That is fantastic, especially the Google situation with the translation. That is amazing.
Yeah, look, and it's, yeah, some other sort of things, if you've got like a restaurant or even an accommodation, like anyone who's visited anywhere in Asia, like depending on where you visit, you know, people have you know, different approach and different sorts of rules when it comes to even things like using toilets. And
yeah,
you know, some people get a bit frustrated when those visitors, in some cases, are using the toilets in a different way than what we would do, but we just need to communicate, you know, what the rules are, often with a simple sign. That sort of shows, you know, how we use them. I also work as an adjunct professor at Victoria University here in Melbourne, and we have international students from over 30 different countries. But, you know, we have on the, in the toilets simple signs on the back of the doors that sort of explain to people how we use the toilets here and what happens with toilet paper, etc.
Good point, a very good point, actually, because when we travel overseas, things are quite different too that we have to adjust to. So tell us about the fact that you visited the southwest of our beautiful state, Margaret River. Gorgeous spot, isn't it?
Oh, look, it's it was the first time I've been there, and I was just wrapped with it. Of course, we're spoiled here in Victoria with the Yarra Valley and the Mornington Peninsula.
Yeah.
But you've got a beautiful spot down there. And, of course, Perth is a fantastic city. But, you know, there's some pretty neat things happening with respect to businesses that are making the investment to understand our Chinese visitors and really treating them. One is Mandura Cruises. And what those guys are doing down there is, you know, it's just going off like a Chinese New Year fire, Jenny.
Very pretty day. You're absolutely. We take it all for granted, but it is wonderful.
Yeah, and yeah, those guys. Seafood is very important to China. It's a sign of very good luck and good fortune. So again, over the Chinese New Year period, a lot of seafood being eaten. And the guys down there at Mandura Cruises have this fantastic sunset cruise where you can catch a crab and have the chef cook it up and eat it. And Chinese visitors are just raving about it. And they're clever in that they've made internet access available for those guests, because again, they're Chinese people, are big users of mobile phones, and they want to share the fabulous experience they're having, you know, in real time with all of their friends. And that's a wonderful way then to promote these fabulous things we've got here in Australia.
Oh, great thing for tourism. It's fantastic. So tell us about the Year of the Pig. What can we expect?
Yeah, look, so the first thing about the zodiac and the sort of the 12 years in China to be aware of is that often the year that your birth year, so for those people that have been born in the Year of the Pig, and that's if they're born this year or back in 2007 or 95, 83, 1971, etc., it's actually not a lucky year for you when it's actually your particular birth year. And the interesting thing about that is that it, you know, every 12 years it comes around. So if you think about just, you know, traditional life, and this zodiac's been around for thousands of years, you know, when you're 12 years old, you're often moving from being a totally dependent child into adolescence. And when you're, you know, 12 plus 12, you're 24, or you may well have become a parent by that stage. Then you're 36, so now you might have a teenager. So it's often a year of, you know, major challenges and transitions for the person who's born in that particular year. But, you know, there's certain numbers that if, in fact, you know, you are a pig this year that are going to be particularly lucky, and they're numbers like 2, 5, and 8. But you certainly want to avoid numbers 1, 3, and 9. So don't pick 1, 3, and 9 when you're off to the races. But if you are born in the year of the pig, 2, 5, and 8.
Okay. And lucky colours too, apparently.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, things like yellow, grey, brown and gold, very lucky. Blue, green, red, those sorts of shades, not a sign of great luck. So you'll see people that are born in the Year of the Pig, they'll be great wearers of yellow, grey, brown and gold.
Okay, great combination. Is this interesting? Lucky directions? How does that work?
Yeah, so again, the zodiac and sort of calendar, you know, for Chinese people is not only around the year of your birth, but also the month of your birth. And then in terms of the extent to which you should travel in particular directions that might be lucky or otherwise, is also driven and related to, you know, your zodiac. So, you know, for people who are actually born the Year of the Pig, you know, the lucky directions are traveling southeast and northeast. Whereas if you're heading due east or due west, you know, that's considered to be quite unlucky.
Oh, I think it's fascinating. And also they've got some lucky flowers.
Yeah, indeed. So Year of the Pig, hydrangeas in particular, And then the pitcher plant and the marguerite. But Hyde, if you're Year of the Pig, or you know someone born in that year, a great big bunch of hydrangeas, it would be a really great sign of empathy with their year and, again, bringing more good fortune for the year ahead.
And they're very optimistic, aren't they, you say?
Yeah, look, the story goes that the Jade Emperor, in putting together the 12 years of the Chinese zodiac, basically invited the animals to come to his palace, and that he would allocate the years, you know, to particular animals based on when they arrived. And it just turns out that the pig was the 12th animal or the last animal to arrive. And generally speaking, people that deal with Chinese people that are from the Year of the Pig, they say, look, they're typically pretty optimistic and independent, pretty considerate. But, you know, at the same time, they can be a bit too trustworthy, sometimes a little bit too easily conned. And in terms of their animal, you know, it was the last animal to arrive for the Jade Emperor, so they're seen as a little bit slothful and a little bit lazy as well.
Okay. People, I'm sure, are identifying with this at the moment if they are from the Year of the Pig. And they're also meant to be more compatible with certain signs.
So again, and so I was meeting some new Chinese people or new friends, Pengyou, as we say in Mandarin, just the other day, and they were very interested in my particular birth year. And I'm a rabbit, so I'm born in the Year of the Rabbit. But they were telling me that with respect to the pig, if you were born in the Year of the Pig, you're going to be much more compatible with people that have got the signs of tiger, or like myself, rabbit, and I think very good sign for Australia, of course, sheep.
Okay.
But they should definitely avoid people that have been born in the Year of the Snake or the Year of the Monkey.
Oh, I think this is fantastic. There are quite a number of celebrities that share the Year of the Pig, aren't there?
Yeah, well, people like Arnold Schwarzenegger's a pig. Should I say born in the Year of the Pig? Amy Whitehouse was also born September the 14th in 83.
Yeah.
And even Henry the VIII, all the way back in 1491.
Goodness.
Born in June. Henry the VIII was, in fact, born in the Year of the Pig.
So the Year of the Pig will actually finish January next year, correct?
That's right, January 24th. So one of the other things about the Chinese calendar is that it doesn't actually have, in terms of the Chinese year, 365 and a bit days each year like we have. So it actually varies between about, I think it's 355 to 360. So in the case of next year, January 24th is the last day of the year. And January the 25th to 2020, it will be the New Year's Day in the Year of the Rat.
Oh, my gosh. I'm a dog, actually, so I'm not sure what that means for me. But anyway, but the Year of the Pig, does it have any influence on any of the other signs?
Look, it doesn't have an influence that I'm aware of. It's more about understanding who you're interacting with and whether it has compatibility from the birth year. So, you know, every 12 years we're rolling through this in terms of which year is your year. But not that I'm directly aware of. But again, I won't claim that I'm an expert on the Chinese zodiac.
You've done a great job, though. But thank you very, very much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Bill.
Appreciate the opportunity, Jenny, and happy Chinese New Year.
Appreciate it.
Not say Xin Yan Kuai Le.
Ah, you do that well. Thank you, Bill. That's right. Bill Lang joining us.